Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started. All right, everybody, welcome to Noise Filter. Of course, I'm Hope, and I just want to welcome our producer, Graham Patterson, to the show today. Dr. Derry is traveling, so Graham is stepping in for him. Graham is wonderful, and he has been on the podcast before, so this is a no-brainer. So Graham, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Hope. You're wonderful, too.
Scientists develop new ways to evaluate COVID risk. As mask mandates fall away and free testing sites close down, many individuals have been left to their own to evaluate how risky their behavior is for spreading COVID. According to the New York Times, scientists are now developing new, more personally applicable metrics for understanding risk and making informed decisions.
Some studies have examined when it's safe to unmask indoors to reduce hospitalization and protect the immunocompromised. Other scientists have been trying to find ways to compare the risk of infection to other frames of reference.
One of the most important metrics of risk is how much virus is circulating in your community. But now, case counts are inaccurate because many people aren't getting tested at all, or they're testing themselves at home. Even with those missed cases, the CDC still evaluates most regions in the U.S. as having high or moderate levels of transmission.
Scientists have also started using new, more familiar frames of reference for COVID risk: driving, scuba diving, and drug use. For example, an unvaccinated person older than 65 is as likely to die from an Omicron infection as they are to die from using heroin for more than 1 year. And for kids under 5, the risk of COVID death is about the same as the risk of a mother's death during childbirth. Oh my gosh. But these metrics can miss differences between groups, like the much higher maternal mortality rate for Black women. Exactly.
The problem with these metrics is that risk can be subjective, and experts are concerned that the burden on individuals to make safe choices perhaps is too high, and that more of it should be managed by the system, the healthcare system, the government, policies in place, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Derry has talked about this a lot on the podcast. There's too much information out there for any one person to know, first know where to get the information, have the time, energy, resources to go out and find it. So all of this cannot be placed on one person or people to do all this research and then try to make a decision. Like, the system has to be better at informing us, at putting things in place for us if we're ever to truly defeat this. Because if we're just allowed to flounder on our own, then unfortunately, this probably will never go away. This pandemic will never fully go away because it's just too much for any one individual person to have to manage on their own.
Right. And I think, like, one frustrating thing for me personally has just been that we are in a, you know, novel times with this new virus and in figuring out what it means to us, how we can fight it, etc. And I mean, science, the whole purpose of science, I guess, is that we're going to kind of push the boundaries of what this is and slowly figure out the landscape that we're living in now. And I think it's a lot of the reason why we have a lot of political division around this is because the government's kind of navigating this landscape and at times being like, this is exactly what you need to do. And then at other times, mm-hmm. you know, like we're like, wait, but what about this thing? What about this thing? And mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. not always as responsive as we wish we were. And we all wish, I think, that we had perfect information and we're not there yet. And right. so, yeah, again, for me personally, I wish that we would have the best of the science that was being put out in a really clear way by the government to be consumed by those who want to feel like, you know, as educated as possible themselves. And that kind of helps them mm-hmm. feel not too anxious or less anxious, mm-hmm. but also to have their direction in the form of policy about what we should mm-hmm. be doing based on all of that information so that, you know, the public at large, that they are operating mm-hmm. within a framework that is most supportive to public health. New COVID tracking strategies are necessary. Popular Science reports that the U.S. is taking a new approach to measuring COVID now that vaccination rates are up. This new effort also accounts for the proliferation of at-home COVID testing.
The CDC announced in March that it will stop relying mostly on a number of positive COVID tests to assess risk in individual communities. Instead, they'll monitor hospital admissions and number of occupied beds more heavily. This has led some local health officials to scale back their COVID testing and contact tracing programs. Some experts are concerned that these relaxed measures could lead to gaps in knowledge that leave us vulnerable to new waves.
There are a few other COVID monitoring strategies that could combat this. First, some public health officials advocate for quote-unquote sentinel COVID surveillance sites or COVID testing sites that are chosen to be representative of the local populations. That way, when case counts rise, the area is able to scale up its PCR testing easily. Sentinel sites also allow for regular genomic sequencing, which keeps track of what version of COVID is circulating in an area.
Secondly, municipalities could monitor their wastewater. This strategy takes advantage of infrastructure that already exists, sewer systems, and reduces the need for large numbers of PCR tests. Using wastewater, scientists can catch asymptomatic and pre-symptomatic infections, as well as keep track of COVID variants.
Lastly, while at-home tests are less reliable and harder to keep track of, experts think that there's still a valuable source of data that health officials should make efforts to follow. To report an at-home test result, check your local health department's website.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. We don't make things easy for people. There's this constant talk about, like, we don't know the true number of COVID infections because people are mostly relying on the at-home test. Okay, well, then you're saying, well, report your at-home test to your local health department. Well, we're assuming that people have access to their local health departments. We're assuming that people even know how to get to their health departments, right. Who to talk to, and are they going to take that extra step, right? Like, we're assuming a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of things going on. Taking that extra step to find a health department, right. If you can even get there, is just a lot. So, like, there needs to be different strategies to make it as simple as possible. I don't know if we need to put QR codes on the test where they can just scan the phone and click yes or no, or positive or negative, and that immediately goes to wherever their phone GPS is. Something.
Like, hope the tech companies need to hire you to develop that. That's a fantastic idea, I think.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.